WTAW News Time is 8:05. It's 53 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax. It's done. Good morning. I'm Kat McMullen. A former Texas A&M AgriLife Extension employee is accused of stealing more than $24,000 in fraudulent checks and unauthorized charges. Lieutenant Alan Barone with the Texas A&M Police Department says 44-year-old Lorenza Nunez of Navasota worked as a business coordinator supporting the 4-H Foundation during her employment from October of 2010 until this January.
The investigation determined that she had created and used fraudulent checks from the Texas 4-H Foundation checking account, as well as making unauthorized payments and purchases with a Texas 4-H Foundation credit card, and the total amount was in excess of $20,000.
Purchases include payments to Entergy and Amazon.com. Byrne says Nunez turned herself in on Monday after a warrant was made for her arrest. She bonded out the same day at $6,000. Three Walmart employees are accused of stealing close to $21,000 worth of merchandise from the Bryan Walmart over several months. Bryan police say that in February of last year, it was reported that several employees had been sneaking electronic items such as televisions, game stations, and iPod touches out of the back of the store. A lengthy investigation resulted in the arrests of Jacob E. Woodard, Damian Parhams, and Kelvin Caldwell. Woodard is currently in the Brazos County Jail in lieu of a bond of $10,000. Parhams was confined Sunday and released Monday on a $5,000 bond, as was Caldwell. And investigation continues after a one-year-old drowned in a Caldwell Motel bathtub over the weekend. Spokesman Julie Moody with Texas Department of Family and Protective Services says she's not exactly sure of the events that took place prior to the drowning, but CPS has current custody of the couple's other child, a two-year-old.
So far, since January 1st, there have been three children across the state of Texas drowning in bathtubs. And it's really important for people and for parents and grandparents and other caregivers to pay attention to their children, whether it's in a swimming pool or a bathtub.
Moody says CPS is investigating neglectful supervision on the part of both parents. A Curtin man was killed Monday after his ATV flipped over. Chief Deputy Sheriff Jim Stewart says 78-year-old Morris Endler was near the stock pond adjacent to his property using the ATV to perform maintenance work.
It appeared that he got too close to the embankment. The stock tank is low, so there was about a 4 or 5 foot drop off. And it appeared that the ATV got to the edge and then rolled over and trapped him underneath. We just got the autopsy results and he ended up suffocating because of his position underneath the ATV.
Investigators believe Endler might have been spraying chemicals around the stock pond. And the fifth year of 50 Men Who Can Cook raised almost $112,000 to help the College Station school system. Cal McNeil, president of the CSISD Education Foundation, says 64 men donated their time by taking a health class and preparing 200 samples, while more than 1,200 attendees helped make the cook-off a success.
It continued increasing our grants with our teachers, which allows our educators to think outside the box of new ways to use technology, to use different ideas and teaching methods that aren't traditionally supported through the budget process. And it's just a wonderful deal to see the cutting-edge technology in the classroom, the teachers having the freedom.
McNeil says about $65,000 will go towards grants, and some will go towards Success 24/7. He says the distribution of checks, which will be in mid-April, is an especially moving experience. WTAW News Time is 8:09. It's 53 degrees. This Look at the News is brought to you by Merry Maids. We'll have more news for you at 8:30, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
If you work long, hard hours and it's difficult to find the time to clean up around the house, relax, because with Merry Maids, it's done. There's nothing like opening your door after a long day at work to see a clean Merry Maids home. Your entire house is spotless and you didn't even lift a finger. Merry Maids sends professionally trained, screened, and bonded professionals to your home so you can trust everything is safe and secure. Voted best of the Brazos Valley for the last 5 years. Call Merry Maids at 979-595-1111. That's 979-595-1111. Merry Maids, relax. It's done.
810 News Talk 1620 WTAW. Let's check some weather. It's brought to you this morning by the folks at Thomas More Feed, providing Brazos County with a full line of feed, fertilizer, and gardening products. Thomas More Feed, just 3 miles south of Texas World Speedway, or at morefeed.com.
Astronomically speaking, today is the first day of spring, and temperatures will be very spring-like across the area. We'll have clearing skies and a high right around 70 later today. It'll be partly cloudy, near 50 overnight. Tomorrow, clouding up, highs very close to 75. Mostly cloudy and mild tomorrow night, a low of 60. Friday, there'll be lots of clouds across the region, and the highs on Friday will be 75 to 80. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
City Councilman Carl Mooney from College Station joins us in just a moment. First, let's go over to Austin, and State Senator Charles Swertner joins us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Happy spring.
Yes, it's kind of nice. Glad to have that. And I guess y'all got a little moisture over in Austin yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Here, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, we reached our halfway point here in the session.
So. Oh, is it halfway? Okay.
Halfway,
that
exactly.
Means, and I guess if things go well, you'll vote on the budget today, and we'll talk about that in a minute. First,
sure.
Let's go back to yesterday, because one of the committees that you're on, the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, looking at a bill that is drawing a lot of attention, obviously, having to do with requirements for abortion clinics to meet stricter standards. I'd like to get your thoughts on the testimony you heard and how you feel about it.
Well, sure. That bill was, you know, I'm a pro-life individual, and I believe in measures that are prudent, that do protect the unborn. But that bill was really about protecting women. I don't think there should be a situation in which we are allowing individuals to have abortions in clinics that are less stringently regulated and supplied with the necessary equipment than ambulatory surgery centers, where much less invasive, much less problematic procedures are being performed.
Now, what the folks will say who are in favor of keeping these facilities open is this, in fact, may force closures of them and would cause women to seek less safe solutions.
No, I don't think so. I think that will make the abortion facilities become more compliant with the proper necessary equipment that they need in their clinics.
Now, I also saw that Arkansas, in fact, has adopted a ban after 12 weeks. That's the strictest in the nation.
Yes, I believe that's correct. I'm not for sure exactly the specifics of that.
General feeling as you look at this, this will get to the Senate floor?
I believe so, yes.
And
it passed out of the committee yesterday, 5-2.
Okay. Now, also one of the other things that that you looked at yesterday in your committee was two different bills about the same thing, and that is end-of-life care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would, because it's two different bills, kind of the overview of what their differences are and then which one that you're more comfortable with.
Well, that's a very difficult and emotional subject, end-of-life issues. As a doctor, my concern is really the ethical and moral treatment of the patient and respecting the rights of the family and the patient. But we do need to have a process to deal with the many issues and uncertainties that are associated with end-of-life. And I'm in favor of Senator Dool's position and bill, Senate Bill 303. I think it's the right way to handle it.
Okay.
Which made some strengthening provisions in reference to our current advanced directive law here in the state of Texas.
And again, the future of that, is this something that that is going to be acted on by the Senate in this session, do you think?
Right now, both bills were left pending.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there will be some further work done to both bills, and then they'll be brought up to a vote in committee, and thereafter be brought to the floor.
Okay. State Senator Charles Swertner joining us this morning from Austin. I guess the Senate planning to vote today on the budget that's about, $196 billion?
That's right. It's $195.5 billion, to be quite precise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think our legislature is doing a very businesslike session. We're getting our work done. We're bringing to the floor a budget that does not raise taxes and that prioritizes our spending. We're increasing in our funding on mental health, for instance, on child and protective services. We also have restored some of the cuts for education that occurred two sessions ago during a difficult financial time.
Of course, it's like 850 pages, so you can't agree with everything in there. If Senator Swertner had a magic wand, what would be some things that you think you'd like to have funded differently?
Well, I always said that education was one of my highest priorities, mm-hmm. and I do think there was room to restore some of the funding to education. We've done that in this bill. I think there was going to be some further room to do that with a second appropriations or supplemental bill as well. In addition, mental health is a topic of great concern of mine. I think we need to try to get people from our ERs and from being incarcerated and get them the help they need. I think that's a financially prudent way of handling the mental health issue that is such a costly issue to the state.
One of the things disquieting, I guess, when you start delving into the budget is you find out that there are really some situations that that need to be taken care of immediately. And I was noticing there's about $10 million for soil and water conservation, because we have dams that some are in highly hazardous situations right now.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the infrastructure that is within this state that has to be struggled with.
Right. I think those dams were initially built by the federal government, but after a certain number of years, the state has to take responsibility for maintenance of them, and I think we're going to be able to get that accomplished.
Okay, and also I think there's been some discussion. Every time we, the voters, hear term limits, we kind of like that, and y'all have had some discussion about term limits on statewide office.
Yeah, actually, on the Senate floor yesterday, we passed term limits in reference to statewide elected officials, and so that'll be going over to the House. But that was a Senate joint resolution that passed overwhelmingly, 27-4.
And I guess folks ought to think about it from it's an interesting standpoint, because some of those people who stand in the Senate might be seeking a statewide office at some point, so they may in fact be kind of putting a wall in their future as far as an elected official in the future.
Well, I think the executive branch is a special branch in the sense that they are just that one individual leading a department, for instance, and I think they should be term limited. My concern was just the overall philosophy of term limits and making sure that that philosophy is carried through in my vote.
Certainly. And finally, we didn't have a chance to talk about this last week. It's always nice we can put up some sort of legislation that has almost unanimous support, and you have decided to carry the banner to find an official dessert for the state of Texas.
That's right. Actually, that was brought forth by a group of first graders, Ford Elementary in Georgetown, Texas. Uh-huh. They all wrote letters and pictures in reference to the pecan pie being the state pie of Texas. Well, they noted appropriately, and after doing their research, that the pecan nut is the state health nut, and the pecan tree is the state tree, so logically it follows that the pecan pie should be the state pie. And we passed that out of the Senate, and it's over in the House now, and I think by the end of the session, the pecan pie will be the state pie, Texas.
Well, there you go. Then that'll the people can add it to their menus on restaurants all over the state.
That's right.
Senator, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Scott.
All right.
A great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's State Senator Charles Schwertner. He joins us on Wednesdays. We have John Rainey on Thursday and Kyle Cassell on Fridays. And Carl Moody from the College Station City Council joins us in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Locke Pascal, interior designer at Wilton's Office Works. Stan, Marlo, and I would like to thank you for your continued support during our current remodel, and wanted to give you an update on how things are progressing. We're very close to the end of renovations on the interior, Wilton's, so come by and take a look. Our next step will be the exterior, so be on the lookout as you pass our showroom on the East Bypass between University and Briarcrest. I'd like to invite you to stop in and visit us as we celebrate our improvements, and find us online at wiltons.com.
News Talk 1620, WTAW, Carl Mooney here this morning from the College Station City Council. Normally this is the Mayor's Day, but we had Carl scheduled for Friday, but because we're doing the three-part series on development in College Station, we asked him to move to Wednesday, and he was kind enough to do that. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Have you gotten to play Jethro Trivia? We don't have time today, but I don't know. Have you gotten to play?
I actually did.
Okay.
When you first started it,
okay.
I think I was one of the first ones to get it
okay.
right.
Okay. All right. Very good. We don't have time today because we're booked up, but still, we do want to talk about a few things. Strategic planning when it comes to the city of College Station, obviously part of your job is to have a focus on the horizon, and it seems to be an ongoing process, but where do we stand on the idea of strategic planning right
well,
now?
Well, like every afternoon when we look out towards the horizon, it seems to change a little bit from day to day. And here in Texas, of course, you can wait a couple minutes and it'll change again, even within that same daytime.
Sure.
Strategic planning is a tough deal. It's a moving target. Look at what's going on along University Drive, Texas Avenue, just as an example. Go south of here. I mean, it's pretty easy for any of us who came here in the 80s to remember when Deakin was as far south as really you could go to find houses in
sure.
College Station.
Mm-hmm.
And now that just keeps moving on. So strategic planning is something that we do spend a lot of time on. Actually, January 28th and 29th, we spent two whole days just going over that. And the problem with that, Scott, is, you know, while we'll revisit it again just before the budget comes around, you come up with a long laundry list of things. And as our city grows and becomes more diverse, that list gets longer and longer and more complicated.
Sure.
And so one of the things we took a little step back at the last council meeting and just acknowledged that a lot of the things, a list of 73 different items, I'll call them, were on the current list. We know we need to parse that down a little bit. All right. For example, one of the points I made at the last council meeting was that we talk about communication, which I think is very important to have a transparent government. And that encourages our citizens to talk to us and tell us what it is that they want. And we need to consolidate that a little bit. So we're going to be taking a look and having some committees, citizens involved, as well as council people and city staff, and try to do a better job, I think, of really getting to the point where we can take action. Because when you have a list of 73 things, as I told my wife, at the end of the day, you take a look and say, well, did we really make a difference?
All right.
And so if we can get that down to maybe 35, 40, I think we'll find that we've got a much better government in addressing problems and solving problems.
Certainly. One of the things that was discussed in last council meeting, and while I only heard the portion of it that we had on our news, discussion about sidewalks and streets and how one's apples and one's oranges. And I actually, to give people some background, I did talk to Jay Sokol for some background on that. And the idea was this is a development that would be held up if you tried to add sidewalks to a street project. But going forward, as you start a new neighborhood, as you have a new development, can you not put that all together? Is that possible?
Well, that's one of the things we've asked city staff to do, is to take a look at how can we do that. James Benham was the council member who actually brought up the question, and I think he's correct. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you're hiring a consultant, which is what we're in the process of doing, to go around and assess our streets and our sidewalks are, as James said, right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why have somebody else come in and look at the sidewalks too? Now, the funding for all of that comes from two different sources, and that's where the problem really lies. So if we can find some way to consolidate that funding so that at least the assessment portion, all right, not necessarily the construction, I can understand how that has to be two separate things, but if we can get the assessment portion done, I think it'll be a lot more efficient. And that way, when we're going in, and you've seen it in neighborhoods, you go in and you tear up the sidewalk. Well, you're going to tear up part of the street, too.
As people on Briarcrest right now, they can tell you about it. They're in Bryan. They're having to struggle with that. But as you add sidewalks, you do have to block or tear up part of the street.
Exactly. Yeah. And this all became a part. This was part of our consent agenda item F, I believe, on Thursday night. And it really started with the focus of what's going on with the sidewalks and public utility changes that we're making from Luther Street up to Southwest Parkway along Welburn Road. And that's going to be a necessary thing that we do repeatedly throughout the city. Changes of infrastructure, maintaining infrastructure. Look at all the things that are going on in Northgate right now. Obviously, roads, Church Street is being reconfigured.
Mm-hmm.
That's sidewalks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a good move if we can find some way to at least take care of the assessment in one fell swoop.
Yeah, it'd be nice to kind of consolidate services. Tell us a little bit about the city manager process right now. Frank Simpson is in that position on an interim basis, but where are we with that?
Well, first, we're very fortunate to have Frank with us. Frank already has city manager experience down in Missouri City. You know, I like the work that Frank does. And when David Neely, the previous city manager, told us that he was going to be leaving and just exploring other things in his life, we were fortunate that Frank was right there. And so what we're going to do is we're giving Frank a little time to show us how he would act as if he were city manager. We said, ignore really the interim title, even though it is there, but go ahead and work just as if you were the full-fledged city manager so that we can really get a sense of what would we be in for if we were able to take that interim title off his shoulders.
And that timeline would be?
We've talked everything from 3 months to 6 months to a year. You know, personally, I'd like to see it happen sooner rather than later, because I think that would give whoever this new city manager is more time to get involved in some things. We've got some major, major projects happening in the city, and you'd hate to see some disconnect happening. I'd like to make sure we have a city manager who's there when these things are taking off, so he can see them all the way through to fruition.
Sure. Carl Mooney joining us this morning from College Station City Council. That pretty much is what I've got on my plate today. Do you have something you want to share with us?
Well, we don't have 3 or 4 hours to talk about. So, one of the things is, and I'm hearing from citizens, we had to make some serious cuts to our budget in the recent years. And that was very responsible, I think, on our part. We took the economic situation that we were going through at the time, even though it wasn't as bad as listening to your show earlier this morning, Congressman Flores was telling us, certainly not as bad as some other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But, maintaining a balanced budget, but still restoring some of those services. In particular, I'm hearing from citizens who are concerned about code enforcement. I'd like to see that happen. I'm also hearing, just at a gathering, and I had a couple moms come up to me, and they were talking about parks. We're growing as a city. We know we're going to continue to grow. Again, on your show, I heard the census figures. We'll continue to increase by about 3,000 or more a year, that's going to bring about some necessary things in parks and recreation. One of the things that I've been having some very initial discussions, if you will, with other folks in the community, including Dr. Colson and Jim Ross, is the possibility of having a natatorium. Just learned yesterday that the university's natatorium is going to be shut down for all of the summer of 2014.
Oh, really? Oh, all interesting. Right?
That means that our clubs, swim clubs and such, won't have a facility to go to. If we're going to continue to try to rely on the university for a variety of things, maybe we need to take a look at doing what I've seen in some other communities, where there is a better partnership than what we currently have between the city and the school district to create some of those opportunities for recreation.
Makes sense. Absolutely. Thanks for the time this morning.
Glad to do it.
That's
Thank you.
You bet. Carl Mooney from the College Station City Council in our mayor slot this morning. And it's brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance.
From your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly healthcare coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VANDYKERANKIN.com.
Newstalk 1620 WTAW. Will King is here this morning from the Bush Library and Museum. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. We've got one of the really big days for the community. This is, you talk about the things that the Bush Library and Museum brings to the community. This is a perfect example of what we're talking about.
Yeah, it sure is. This is one of our 3 or 4 really, really big community events that we do every year, and it is the College Station Easter Celebration. So that's going to be this Saturday, March 23rd. We're going to kick it off at 9:30. I'm going to go till noon. Starting at 9:30 is when you can pick up your activity bags, and those are the things that have the little coloring books and things in there for kids, as well as some free giveaways from different companies and everything like that, as well as the highly coveted and sought-after wooden eggs.
Yes, exactly. Now, again, as you heard Will say, it's the 23rd, just to make sure there's not any confusion, but it will be the 23rd. Now, I guess let's talk first of all about getting there, because traffic sometimes is a problem.
Yeah, it is sometimes a problem, and key to note is that Barbara Bush Drive is going to be closed starting at 9 o'clock. That's to make sure no little kiddos or anybody else get run over by cars or anything. So it's going to be important that you come in through either Discovery or Research Drive, so off of University.
Okay, do that. Then you get in, and then one of the things that, as you say, the goodie bag and those wooden eggs, about how many wooden eggs are there that y'all distribute?
Ooh, well, I couldn't even tell you. There's a bunch. Our office is packed with boxes right now, so there's a bunch. I don't know the exact count.
It's hard to walk around. And, it would be interesting maybe next year if we're all together at this time to find out what the numbers were the first year and where we are now, because I know it's been so many things. The College Station Fire Department's gotten involved. Right. Of course, our radio stations are involved. It ends up being really a massive thing where the act itself really doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't. The actual egg hunt begins at 10 o'clock, and it's over about, you know, a minute and a half later. But, no, like you said, it really is a community-wide effort. You know, we do thank this year WTAW, K95, and Peace 107 for their involvement and getting the word out about it, as well as our many local companies and just individuals who have donated things for our special golden eggs. These are eggs that are out in the egg hunt fields, and if you find them, they have a little special something inside for kids.
Well, that's great. Now, and so people know, again, if this would be your first year, that you do divide it up by age brackets.
Yeah, we do. So you don't have, you know, the big 7-year-olds knocking toddlers around or anything like that.
Yep. Now, and there are other things that go on after the egg hunt and before, so kind of give us an overview of that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. You know, we'll have the carnival-style games that'll be going on starting about 9:30-ish, maybe a little sooner. You know, ring toss and egg roll and carry the egg on the spoon and all kinds of things like that. Starting just after the egg hunt itself is when we're going to have the photos with the Easter Bunny. And also the College Station Police Department is going to be giving away some bicycles and helmets and things. They do this every year. You can register on our website, bushlibrary.tamu.edu/Easter. There's a form that you can download and send in. And in case you can't make it or get the form in time, come at 9 o'clock, and we'll have late registration for that. And, yeah, register your kids. Maybe you'll win a bike.
Sure. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that we have great weather for that, which we normally do. And what time does it usually wrap up?
Usually wrap up about noon or so. The last thing, you talked great weather. We're hoping for a little bit of wind because we are having a kite flying contest at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Well, we don't need anything like we've got, you know, we've been having 20-mile-an-hour right. winds. We don't need that. Okay. So one more time, the website if they want some information.
Yeah, bushlibrary.tamu.edu/Easter.
All right. Will King here this morning, and don't forget the Easter celebration coming up on the 23rd. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thank you.
Early gains likely on Wall Street. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger. The futures indicate stocks will start out higher this morning. Analysts say investors are focused on the Federal Reserve, which will issue a policy statement when a 2-day meeting breaks up today. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will hold a news conference. FedEx posted weaker results. The package delivery company's profit for the latest quarter was down more than 30% from a year ago. FedEx says more customers are choosing ground shipping over its premium air freight services. If you live in a metropolitan area, you're probably better off buying a home than renting. New data from Trulia show low mortgage interest rates are keeping home ownership affordable in the top 100 metro markets, even though home prices are rising. It is less expensive and complicated for you to sell goods on eBay. The online auction house introduced a new fee structure. Tiered commissions will be phased out and replaced by flat fees based on merchandise categories. eBay hopes to attract more merchants. Jeff Bellinger, Dow Jones Money Report.
It's deer season, and that can mean only one thing. Huge savings on new John Deere compact tractors, utility tractors, and hay tools. Get 0% financing or choose big cash savings. Hurry in before these incredible deer season deals disappear. Offer ends April 30th, 2013, subject to approved credit on John Deere financial installment plan. Some restrictions apply. See your participating dealer for details.
Get great deals at any of Shop of Farm Supply's 5 locations or online at sfstractor.com or myjohndeeredealer.com. Shop as Farm Supply. We are John Deere.
Hi, I'm sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews with Cintas. The team with the white truck is famous for uniforms that make your team look like pros. But Cintas does so much more. Services like deep cleaning floors and bathrooms, delivering first aid and safety products, testing fire equipment, and shredding confidential documents. Visit Cintas.com to learn all the ways Cintas can be your business game changer. And tell them to bring in the team with the white truck. Cintas.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com.
The Aggie Report is next.
Texas Mutual Insurance Company salutes the offensive lineman. Oh, it's not the most glamorous position on the field. You don't make the highlight reel or get your name in the paper. But you provide something no successful team can do without. Protection. We know. We've been protecting Texas companies with workers' comp coverage for over 20 years. So here's to you, linemen. You keep hanging in there and taking care of business. We'll do the same. Come see us at texasmutual.com.
A&M baseball team got a 2-0 win over Dallas Baptist at home last night. 2-6-0 for the Aggies with six men left on. Dallas Baptist, no runs, three hits, one error. They stranded six. Combination shutout for A&M, including Long, who got the start and the win, went 5 1/3. Minter, Ray, and then Jester will get a save. It was his sixth of the season. Long now 3-0. Time of the game, 2 hours and 20 minutes. The attendance was 4,050. The Aggies now 15-7. Dallas Baptist 11-10. That was the first shutout of the year for the Aggie pitching staff and the first shutout for Dallas Baptist, a team that was hitting well over 300 coming into last night's game. Aggies get it 2-0. A&M now will move on to Oxford, Mississippi for 3 beginning Friday night against Ole Miss. I'm Dave South, and that's your Aggie Baseball Report.
WTAW News Time is 8:35. It's 52 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. Experience the SWBC difference and their commitment to personal service, on-time closings, and seamless transactions. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. This year's 50 Men Who Can Cook cook-off raised almost $112,000, and Cal McNeil with the College Station ISD Education Foundation says the grant money will do much more for the schools than simply give purchasing power.
If you can imagine teachers who are fighting to educate young people on a constrained budget, having to do more with much less, I have no idea, and I'm scared to ask, how much of their personal funds they put into those classrooms. And then one day, here comes a bunch of people beating on the drum saying, hey, here's some money. And it just almost rejuvenates the whole campus.
McNeil says the grants show teachers, students, and staff that there are people who believe in and support the school district. He says he knows this year's winners, but his lips are sealed until next month when the celebratory grant patrol will go through the school district awarding the prizes. Over the last couple of days, three area men have been arrested for the theft of almost $21,000 worth of retail merchandise. Jacoby Woodard, Damian Parhams, and Kelvin Caldwell, all employees of the Bryan Walmart, allegedly ferreted out electrical items that included Xboxes, laptops, Sony PlayStations, and Nintendo Wiis from the back of the store where they worked. With the help of an observant customer and Walmart management, Bryan police believe the thefts took place from October of 2011 through January of last year. Parhams and Caldwell have both been released on $5,000 bands, while Woodard remains in the Brazos County Jail with a bond set at $10,000. A business coordinator supporting the 4-H Foundation at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office has been charged with theft of more than $24,000. University Police Lieutenant Alan Barone says they believe 44-year-old Lorenza Nunez of Navasota committed the thefts from July of 2011 through December of last year.
She was charged with theft by a public servant between $20,000 and less than $100,000, which is a second-degree felony, and it's punishable by a prison term of up to 20 years and or a $10,000 fine. Now, she was also charged with 2 counts of credit card abuse, which that is a state jail felony, punishable by a prison term of up to 2 years in a state jail facility and or a $10,000 fine.
Barone says Nunez turned herself in on Monday and bonded out at $6,000. He says the case has now been turned over to the Brazos County District Attorney's Office. And a flipped ATV caused the death of a Curtin man on Monday. Chief Deputy Sheriff Jim Stewart says they believe 78-year-old Morris Endler's ATV got too close to the embankment of a stock pond, causing the ATV to roll over on top of him.
My deputy was first on scene, got the wife away from the site, took her in the home. While awaiting the arrival of additional deputies, Bryan Fire rolled their paramedics out there, but Mr. Endler had been dead for a while, so they didn't do any life-saving efforts on him.
Stewart says he left his card with the family and offered the department services in case they need any follow-up assistance. And after a 1-year-old drowned in a bathtub at a Caldwell motel last weekend, Julie Moody with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services wants to remind you to keep an eye on your children. Moody says a child can drown in even just 2 inches of water.
It can happen in seconds. A lot of times we think, oh, well, I can run and go answer the phone, or, oh, I'm going to go start dinner while they're playing in the bathtub. But you do need to watch children around water.
Moody's says three children have already drowned in bathtubs in Texas this year. She says CPS is investigating neglectful supervision of the drowned child's parents and has custody of their other child, a two-year-old. WTOW News Time is 8:39. It's 53 degrees. This Look at the News is brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. We'll have more news for you at noon, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Looking for a good dentist for your family? It's a real jungle out there, and we're not lying. Come to Safari Dental. It's very important to start healthy habits early, so that's why we have a pediatric dentist on staff at Safari Dental. We also perform root canals and teeth bleaching for adults, accepting most insurances. Corner of Highway 21 and Texas Avenue in Bryan. Call 979-217-2185. Visit mysafaridental.com.
Safari Dental. Smile more, worry less.
Hi, I'm Veronica Mitchell. At SWBC Mortgage, we offer competitive interest rates and an array of mortgage loan products. We're local lenders with over 48 years of combined experience in making home loans right here in Bryan College Station. We take pride in serving our community, and we'll work hard for you. So whether you're buying or refinancing a home, choose a lender who put your interest first. SWBC Mortgage. Call us at 693-0481. 693-0481.
NMLS number 228469. Loan subject to credit approval. Rate subject to change daily. Equal housing lender.
Experience a piece of history at the Museum of the American GI Open House Fundraiser. This Friday and Saturday, tour their World War II living history and vehicle displays as reenactors tell you the history and function of the vehicles and displays. The two-day event concludes with a World War II battle at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Go out Friday, 9 to dusk, and Saturday, 9 to the conclusion of the World War II battle at 3. Enjoy free parking at Santa's Wonderland with a shuttle ride to the site. For information, call the Museum of the American GI, 255-3675.
8:41, our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you by Brazos Bounty. Somebody new moves to town, they're offered information on businesses. Get your business there first. Be an early bird. Go to BrazosBounty.com.
Clouds and showers are pushing south and east out of the area towards the Galveston region. We'll be looking at sunshine developing behind this band of cloudiness today. Highs near 70. It'll be partly cloudy overnight and 50. Tomorrow, clouds will roll in and the sun will disappear in the morning, 75. Cloudy tomorrow night with a low of 60. Lots of clouds for Friday. It'll be warm Friday, highs 75 to 80. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
Work, 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 work. I mean, it's inside and there's no heavy lifting, but boy, we've been busy.
Yes, we have.
just been talking to people and all that kind of stuff. So
we're popular.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
Part of that spring fever.
That's it. So we get a chance to now settle in for our last. And that's, I don't remember. No, I guess, yeah. Did the senator wish me a happy spring on the air? I talked to him.
Somebody did.
Yeah, that was the senator who did that. So, yeah, happy spring. So Verizon has proposed that it only pay channel providers when viewers actually watch a show. Yeah. At the moment, most U.S. cable and satellite companies pay channel providers a fixed monthly fee for each subscriber who can receive a channel in their particular package. In other words, you got ESPN. ESPN gets, and I mentioned them because they're one of the highest. Variety, whereas if it's Oxygen, I think Oxygen pays a penny to get you to watch them. But yeah, but Verizon believes it's getting stiffed on a system because it's having to pay for channels even when few people are watching them, like Oxygen. It's not clear what effect this would have on pricing for consumers. So we'll see. All right. Well, of course, Kat, you're not a good example. I was going to ask you how often you watch Oxygen, and you don't.
I watch it every time that I need to wipe my tears with chocolate chip cookies.
Ah, that's it. Well, they are perfect for that. That's for sure. So, and while we're speaking of that, emotional eating is no longer the answer.
It's not?
No. According to researchers at Penn State University, people don't actually feel better after eating junk food.
You're just a non-believer.
I'm not going to go with this.
I
really
feel better.
Yeah.
There are sometimes that only chocolate chip cookie dough will suffice to...
Oh, wait. Now, wait. You're saying chocolate chip cookie dough. Now, that's completely different.
Oh, no. Or cookies or what. It doesn't matter.
No, it does. I seriously disagree with you.
If I'm really, really depressed, it has to be... chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
So you gotta have the ice cream mixed.
Otherwise, you get an embittered heart made of putrid flesh that just.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Let me try this on you. And you can buy it at the grocery store. They've got Philadelphia cream cheese cheesecake filling. No?
It just sounds gross.
Why?
I don't want to sit eating cheese with a spoon.
It's cheesecake. It's cheesecake filling.
Cheesecake's awfully heavy.
Well, I
need something lighter.
Cookie dough is light and fluffy.
Yeah, but if you're crying, you know, you don't want to be all snotty with real glunky cheesecake.
There you go.
You can have that after your loser bowl.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get to that again.
My big
soon.
Bowl of fail.
Yeah, in fact, they often feel worse. Actually, see,
it's because the voices in their head are saying, "You fatty, can't even deal with your problems."
In their study, subjects were in a good mood before eating tended to not have no mood changes regardless of their eating behaviors, but people who were in bad moods tended to become more negative when eating unhealthily.
I don't know. It depends. It really does.
Well, I agree. I think there are any number of people who are more than happy to be.
Try to take away the chocolates from a weeping woman and we'll see who's unhappy.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Or who gets damaged beyond repair.
Yeah.
That's how you know. Don't be stupid. If you walk into a room and it's riddled with candy bar wrappers and Kleenex, that means it's time to shut your mouth.
Stay away. Yeah. Actually, don't even come in the room. Don't even come in the room.
Run away!
Yes. After Anika, did we mention Anika Griffin voting in the Florida election yesterday?
I haven't heard of it.
I don't think so.
I read it twice to myself, and I thought it was interesting. Anyway, Anika Griffin voted in a local Florida election. She proudly displayed her I voted early sticker, okay, because they'll give you those stickers, you know. Unfortunately, her next appointment was with her probation officer, and he noticed the sticker.
Oh.
Well, after Griffin allegedly admitted to him that she had indeed voted, she's charged with submitting a false voter registration information now, false swearing, and fraud in casting the vote.
As opposed to regular swearing.
Yeah, there you go. As a convicted felon, Griffin is prohibited from voting unless her voting rights are restored. And Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigation found when Griffin registered to vote, she falsely stated on her application she was not a convicted felon. She lied.
Oopsie daisies.
Yeah, so now she's gonna get in even more trouble out of that. And all she was trying to do was go out and vote. But, you know, you got to remember when you become a felon, you miss out on stuff
so
like that.
So when you get out of the pokey and you're a felon, do you get your voting rights back?
No, I don't think you are. You're forever a convicted felon.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, get to carry that one with you. Yeah, good.
Come on down Hillco. Come on down and see. We got everything that your metal project needs.
Metal roofing has gained popularity in Texas over the past few decades for good reason. One roof that can withstand the challenges of the changing Texas weather is a quality, durable metal roof from Hillco. Hillco metal roofs will not rot, burn, or peel, and can brave wind and hail that would leave conventional roofs in the dust. Heat-reflective Hillco roofs also reduce your energy costs by lowering attic temperatures during the summer. Stop by Hillco, just 2 miles south of Navasota on Highway 6 to see all their color and profile options. Or call 936-822-8255.
Come on down Hillco, come on down and see. We got everything that your metal project needs.
Hillco Metal Roofing Supply, 936-825-0500 or hillcosupply.com.
Ron, tell me, you offer the beautiful guarantee here at Aggie Lane Carpet One. What is the beautiful guarantee?
The beautiful guarantee really says that you are going to love your carpet or we'll replace it for free. We want you to love the style that you chose, and if you're not happy with it, we want you to let us know.
Well, no one has that kind of guarantee.
In the United States, we're the only ones that have a guarantee like that, and it's really unconditional. We don't have anything that should make you feel like you can't tell us that you're just not happy with that style.
What if we just don't like the color? Is that a reason?
That's an absolutely acceptable reason to us. If we installed a carpet in your home that you don't like the color, it didn't go with your paint colors, your wall colors.
Or it looks different laid down.
Oh, we're glad to replace it for that reason. It's really a satisfaction warranty that we want you to love the style, the color that you chose.
Well, we're located right on Highway 6 next to the Harley-Davidson dealership near the Barron Road overpass.
Beautiful. News Talk 1620, WTAW, it's 12 minutes till. Hello.
Hello, I have to comment on the emotional eating story.
Oh, yes.
I honestly have to say, after 13 years of marriage, I've fixed many minor hiccups by walking in the front door chocolate first.
Ah, very good.
And sometimes when it's really bad, you just throw the chocolate into the room first.
And run. It's like a chocolate grenade.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyhow. All right, so, well, this headline I had to go look. Strange things removed from people's stomachs. Okay. Coins. Pica is a compulsion to eat things other than food, like the 62-year-old Frenchman who ate 350 coins in 2002. Had to be taken to the hospital suffering from abdominal pains. Imagine that. The 12-pound mass they found inside weighed as much as a bowling ball. That'd be 12 pounds. A diamond ring. Hard-up romantic Simon Hooper went into the jeweler to buy a ring to propose to his girlfriend with. When he realized that he couldn't afford it, he swallowed it. Later denied it. When the cops x-rayed him, they found it. He, you know, done that. Hair. In 2007, docs were amazed to yank a 10-pound hairball out of an 18-year-old woman's stomach.
Whoa.
After she went to see her doctor about a stomach ache.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Magnetic toys. A toddler was admitted to a hospital with three pieces of his older sibling's magnetic building set inside him. When the offending article came out, the boy went, when he saw the article, he went, oh boy, candy, popped it in his mouth. This one scares me. 32-year-old Israeli woman swallowed a cockroach while cleaning her house. She tried to fish it out with a fork, gulped it down too.
Swallowed the fork?
Yeah, she did. It's an old lady who swallowed a fly. Okay. Anyway, in Thailand, 2006, a woman had 199 nails, many of them rusty and 3 inches long, removed from her belly. Severe cramps.
I can see where that would do that.
I'm sure a California woman bit into a hot dog from a fast food place and swallowed a bullet. I don't know. An Indian woman. An Indian woman was admitted to the hospital in 2007 with 236 metal objects, including chain inside her. Okay. I'm just saying. By the way, I didn't find this originally this morning. Today is Corn Dog Day.
Hey, now.
Today is Corn Dog Day.
You want to bite the bullet?
Yeah, very nice. So you get a chance to wrap a cornbread meal around a wonderfully scrumptious, not healthy hot dog, and then deep fry it to make sure. Now, do you eat yours plain, or do you put stuff on it?
Ketchup.
Really?
Yep.
See, I'm mustard all the way.
I don't eat mustard ever.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Mustard's evil.
No, it's not. But anyway. But mayonnaise is also popular. But you see, I don't like putting mayonnaise on hot foods, you know, because it then kind of starts to melt a little bit. You know, it gets that kind of, because it's got egg whites and oil, right?
Yeah.
Kind of starts to separate. Start to see how nasty it is, and then you realize how unhealthy it is, and then you go ahead and eat it.
Children learn to read on the laps of their parents. Did you know nearly two-thirds of low-income families have no children's books at home? So here's how you can help. Become a part of the Half Price Books Half Pint Library program today. Bring a new or gently used children's book to any Half Price Books between now and March 31st. Drop it off in the Half Pint Library donation box. It's that simple. At the end of the drive, Half Price Books will match your donations and distribute to local organizations for kids in need. Help us share the love of reading with young children and their families. Remember, one good book can help inspire a lifelong reader. And only with your contributions can a Half Pint Library become a reality. To learn more about the Half Price Books Half Pint Library program or to find a store near you, visit hpb.com. The Half Pint Library Book Drive. It's kids' books from the community for the community.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
We were born in the heart of Texas, raised by Texas values.
Small business entrepreneurs are the backbone of the American economy. They all need one important thing, capital. And Spirit of Texas Bank is the number one Texas-owned bank for small business production with locations in the Brazos Valley and surrounding counties. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Texas-owned, Texas-proud, the bank for Texans. Spirit of Texas Bank.
Arendt's Family Dentistry in Bryan is known for offering big city benefits with that small town feel. How? For starters, their office has been locally owned and operated by Jim and Karen Arendt since 1984, and they've spent those years building relationships with families in the Brazos Valley. Their friendly atmosphere is coupled with state-of-the-art technology that's used in every procedure.
Receive convenience with a personal touch at Arendt's Family Dentistry. Call 268-1407, like us on Facebook, or visit us online at arentsdds.com.
About 5 till, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Whenever we want to find out about a movie or things like that, we go to IMDb. That's the Internet Movie Database. They're headed to court today. A federal judge refused to toss the lawsuit from an actress named Brown Brown. I don't know. It's Juan Huang, who got ticked off after the website, which lists actors and actresses and their TV and movie roles, published her real age.
Oh!
She claimed she was fired from a film after producers learned her real age from the website and that the site used her credit card information in conjunction with the website PrivateEye.com to determine her real birth date, which was an invasion of her privacy. And the actress is also angry that IMDb not only changed it, but refused to remove it from the site. Lawyers for the website say the actress gave a false birth date, 6 years younger than her real birthday. Trial's going to start a couple of weeks, April the 8th, unless there's some sort of an out-of-court settlement. Well, again. And her name is, first name is H-U-O-N-G, last name is H-O-A-N-G. Long Huang? I mean, I'm not sure, but gosh. Come on, hun. By the way, she lives in Texas. Lives in Texas. I don't know where, but just know that she's from Texas. All right, season 16 premiere of Dancing with the Stars picked up 18 million viewers on Monday night, easily topping the night. And perhaps getting it the number one show for the week. We'll see. Let's see what else. Oh, here's your top six shows from last week. NCIS Los Angeles, number six, 2.5 Men. Number four is NCIS The Original. Number three is American Idol. Number two is Person of Interest. And number one is Big Bang Theory. Once again, ZBS with 5 out of the 6 top television shows last week. Good news for James Bond fans. The next movie in the series. You know how many there have been?
No.
20?
How many?
This would be the 24th.
24.
Wow, that's Kevin, close. You were so close. Yeah,
I'm a James Bond guy.
Yeah, coming out in the next 3 years. Daniel Craig is back for the next two movies, but they don't have a director. The director decided he wanted to go someplace else. Congratulations to the guys at the Public Works Department in Windsor, Missouri. They can stop bringing their own toilet paper to work.
Well, that's nice.
Seems an overzealous bean counter determined that the men were using way too much and cut them off entirely.
He's a Sheryl Crow fan.
Really. The mayor and city council learned of it when a concerned citizen came forward at a council meeting and asked to start a fundraiser to pay for the guy's relief, so to speak. This was really amazing, the mayor says. The city council quickly restored the funding, so there you go. While we're speaking of toilets, unidentified man recovering at a Georgia hospital after falling into a toilet pit.
Oh.
At a state park. The toilets appear normal from the outside, but rather than being hooked up to a plumbing system, it's basically just an open hole. And the man chose
threw
to
up.
He chose to stand atop the toilet rather than sit down and thus fell through the hole into the pit. Trapped for about 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to talk about 70 minutes of hell? Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
But they did. They rescued him. Stories he'll have to tell his children.
I wonder if you get extra for rescuing a guy like that.
Yeah. If you have arachnophobia, if you're scared of spiders, mm-hmm. New York Post says scientists have discovered spiders large enough to feast on bats.
Holy cats!
Yep.
Are they in New Guinea or where are they?
They say exist on every continent except Antarctica. They're so-called bat catchers, create huge webs to catch the flying rodents, but in some cases they don't even need to build a web. They just hunt the bats down.
How did we not notice them before?
I don't know. That's a really good question, because I think if I saw one of those crawling across the living room floor, I'd do something about it.
So, get a big old shoe.
Yeah. Would somebody please, please buy NASA Yes We Are Relevant telescopes? Ask what Americans could do if a meteorite like the one that hit Russia last month was 3 weeks away from hitting New York, for instance. NASA's Administrator Charles Bolden Jr.'s answer was pray.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And we probably couldn't even get 3 weeks' warning. NASA currently lacks the ability to find and track small meteors like the 55-foot one that hit Russia. If we did see one coming and it was still far enough away, apparently the current plan is to ram a spacecraft into it, knock it off orbit. Yeah, put Clint Eastwood up there, right?
NASA, that was Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. NASA, however, only has $20.5 million budgeted to deter near-Earth objects, so we might never find out. All right, this date in history, 1899, Martha Place, Brooklyn, New York, first woman to be executed in the electric chair. They got a picture of it, too. You can see it out there, 1899.
Creepy.
Yeah. 1916, Albert Einstein published that theory of relativity. 1987, a Houston man fined $10,000 and assessed 10 years in probation for stealing 76,000 rolls of toilet paper.